Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time hour on this Thursday. According to a new survey of 3,500 dog owners, 86% of respondents said they would end a relationship if their boyfriend or girlfriend could not get along with their dog.
Keyword. That
is the dog story that Zoe is so anxious today to talk about.
Yeah.
This is the story of the day to Zoe that jumps out at him, that grabs him and speaks to him. And somehow he has, in his mind, tied this to Cassius Marsh saying he didn't have fun in New England
and that
he hated it so much he nearly thought about
Felger
quitting
this.
Football.
Felger
what
nailed
is
this.
It? Please.
Felger's a dog guy, too, and I'm a dog guy. I've had five dogs. Okay, I love my dog. I love Bentley. You know, key word there, girlfriend, boyfriend, right? You're not married. It's a big different story if, like, the wife or the husband would dump the other or go for a divorce because you don't like my dog.
That would never happen.
Right. See, so it's different when you have a different commitment.
It may speak to why these people are not married to begin with,
right?
Because
the relationship
they like is one with a dog, where there is no give and take, there is no back and forth, there is no sacrifice for the other.
Right.
There's none of that.
Keyword animal. Animal.
It's an
speak.
Animal.
Right.
You control it. You're in full control, and having a dog is all about you, which is why dog people piss me off when they treat dogs like children, and they act like they're parents. You're not a parent to a dog.
This is what Cassius Marsh did, though. And I missed all this because this was the beginning of that story where he's telling a story about he has this mix of this pit bull boxer slash mutt dog that is his, like his child. And it's he loves like these therapy dogs. And
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with loving your dog.
Bought a seat for the dog, but I guess he was on an Alaska Airlines flight. And the dog's not sitting in a seat. It's going to sit on the floor next year. And he went nuts, I guess. Went crazy on Twitter, ripping Alaskan Airlines.
Wait a minute, though. He bought a seat for the dog?
I guess he does this, yes, and wants to bring the dog on the flight. I mean, you're going to sit a pit bull-type breeded dog next to some kid on an airplane?
No, that would piss me off.
Right.
No shot.
It's different if it's if you have seizures. Like, I've seen medical dogs out there that aid people that have seizures, or if it's a sight dog, person's almost or is blind and uses the dog for sight.
That's a different situation.
I mean, it's these wacko people that look at the animal like Jim was the first one that had Jim's dog Rocky was on Jim's Christmas picture, and they would dress the dog up and all this stuff. This is prior to Jim having kids, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
You were one of those nutty
and
dog
then you
people.
Had kids,
well, no, my wife
then
was.
You had kids, and now you get pictures of Jim's kid and Larry Bird.
Right, now you get a picture of your kid.
Yeah. Right, because Jim turned normal.
Dog is out. Unless,
right.
You know, you want to put the dog in the family photo. I get it, but still. What are we doing here?
And this isn't about the dog. People,
what does this have to do with
Cassius
Marsh? Other than he's pissed at an airline.
Because it should have indicated why the dude had issues anyway. Because there's your instability right there.
Self-centered,
right.
All
me,
about
me
himself.
And my dog, right.
And that's what you got out of that dog story.
I'm going to cause a problem with the airlines now. Because they won't let my
He's a me,
mix.
Me, me guy.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't enjoy working for somebody else.
Yeah. I confronted Bill Belichick. I'm the guy that got upset because my foot got nicked by a chair by a teammate. I'm going to cause the problem in front of the media. It's a me, me, me guy. And plus you stink.
He's a narcissistic millennial is what you want to call him.
That stinks.
That's what you want to do.
Good.
That's what you want to call
him. I'd rather have the narcissistic millennial, but at least as good at his craft. The guy's at least tolerable.
I got to say, Hardy.
Randy Moss, you want to go crazy because someone hit you in the foot? Different.
So tied all that together pretty well. It's not a bad take.
Because I saw this story in Slack. I'm like, are we really going to talk
together.
About dogs?
I don't know about the pretty well part.
You know what I mean? Are we really going to talk about dogs?
But it works.
But it was, you know, Felger going off for an hour on Cassius Marsh and this dog thing. And I'm with him on it.
I didn't
like
hear
my
this.
Dog. Felger brings
love,
his dog in.
Felger's a dog guy.
But you know what?
He also has a dog good time ripping
dog owners. Dogs that sit on the floor and eat out of a dog bowl. You know, the dog is not going to get humanized, okay?
It's not a human. It's a dog.
Right. Now, next thing you know, you're going to buy the dog a box lunch on a plane because, it's my therapy dog.
Yeah, no, there's a difference between someone who needs
he's gonna
their
eat dog food.
For
what he's
going to
do is get eat dog food out of a dog bowl.
You know, there's plenty of people that do need that assistance from a dog.
You got a dog?
And have legitimate reasons. There are others who just like their dog and want to bring the dog everywhere.
Right. Sometimes you have a dog and a dog
You know what's
crazy.
Becoming a real dog place is the big box, you know, home improvement stores.
Oh, Bentley
where
loves
all
going
of a
there.
Sudden, it's now acceptable to bring your dog for a walk in the store?
I take Bentley there.
I don't get that.
Because the birds that fly around, he goes crazy in there. And he smells the fertilizer. He loves it.
It's good for him.
Good sense.
Yeah, let him eat that.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't eat it, but he just he's on alert in there.
Yeah, the dogs in the Lowe's and Home Depot, that's been a thing for a long time.
Yeah, it's weird. Mm. It's very weird. 617-779-0985. Robot umpires, Doug and Webster, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
So here's a scenario for you.
Yeah.
A late inning Yankee-Red Sox game. Tight score, a couple men on base, maybe two outs. 3-2 count. Pedro paints the corner, and the umpire rings him up. You rather see that, or you rather see the crowd staring at the scoreboard, waiting for that light to click over?
Up is still
I'd rather
ring them up.
I'd rather get the call consistently right.
If they use my method, the umpire will have the signal indicator in his hand. It'll be a green check for the strike or the red X for a ball.
What if they put a collar on
that
and
strike? He sees it. He gets confirmed. And yeah.
What if they zap and put a collar?
It's got to be some sort of vibration or buzzing mechanism.
Pull this string!
An electroshock collar on the umpire.
Speaking of dogs, dog shockers.
Right! You'll still
I thought
get
the umpire was going to hold up a red or a green sign, like a yellow card, red card.
And I would only put a small green and red light behind the umpire for TV purposes.
Ooh.
But for in terms of in the ballpark, you still have to look at the umpire.
Yeah.
You have to look at him make that call.
Yeah.
Derek in the car. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Derek.
I'm for it all the way. I saw on Real Sports last year, they actually did a special on this with this company, and they actually do give the umpire a sensor in his hand so he knows when it's a strike. And in regards to, like, if you have, an Aaron Judge followed by someone the size of a Troya, there's someone that actually sits there and adjusts the height of the strike zone. And so I'm for it all the way. And we are going to see this happen in baseball because baseball is monetizing the gambling in stadium that the Supreme Court just allowed. And they're going to want to make sure that they have it right 100% of the time because they will lose money if you have that human element that everyone's talking about. People are just going to stop gambling on it, right? And MLB is going to try to make money off this as much as humanly possible.
Do you remember, good points, Derek. I don't know if you guys remember, but when Questech came into baseball, and Questech was the first electronic umpire evaluation system, they put it in 13 different ballparks when it first got rolled out.
Yeah, didn't Schilling have a huge problem with it?
Yes, and Curt Schilling didn't like the new system because he thought it was changing the strike zone in baseball. He thought it was changing the way the strike zone was called. And so Schilling destroyed and smashed one of the cameras near the Diamondbacks dugout in 2003. Typical Schilling.
Yeah, it's probably vetted by a Democrat.
Probably worth, thousands upon thousands of dollars, the technology they installed. Schilling destroyed one and then claimed that when he told an umpire he did it, the umpire said, go destroy the other one. So that's sort of an interesting angle on it as well. What's the umpire involved?
Dead set against it.
And what's their thought on it going forward? It takes away the balls and strikes element of their job. 617-779-0985. We've got robotic umpires, electronic umpiring, Cassius Marsh and dogs, which Zoe has eloquently introduced to the show today. And also, Kobe Bryant was at Patriots camp yesterday. Bill Belichick talked about it earlier today. We'll get to that and more of your calls next.
Are they aliens?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What brought Kobe Bryant to practice yesterday, and what was his message to the guys?
Kobe's have a ton of respect for Kobe. Obviously a great, great player, had a great career, and spent the day with him yesterday. He had a lot of great observations and things we could learn from. So he's a tremendous guy.
Phil, you mentioned the Kobe Bryant visit. Mentioned in the past you're not the easiest guy to play for. Is it important for you to come up with ways for players to feel like they're enjoying themselves as they're putting in the work that you ask them to put in?
Yeah, we feel it's important to us is to win. So that's really what we're trying to do.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. My reaction to Kobe Bryant being at Patriots practice, my initial reaction was, ew, gross, Kobe Bryant? Laker, Kobe Bryant? Hated Kobe Bryant? What?
See, I like Kobe the player when he was in his prime, watching him. I didn't think that, but I thought, okay, what's my first reaction was, okay, what's the tie-in? Because my reaction was I just saw him in a Philadelphia Eagle jersey doing a fly, eagle, fly.
Yeah, what, you root for Kareem, too?
That's
gross.
That's a team that
beat. What are we doing here? Great Laker Kobe Bryant coming to practice? This sucks. What is that? And then you think about just who Kobe Bryant is, the kind of dirtbag that I think Kobe Bryant is. And the allegations against him back in 2003. And I think, what are they doing? What is the value in bringing in Kobe Bryant? Wait a minute. Why is Kobe Bryant even willing to go to Foxborough, Massachusetts in the middle of May to meet the Patriot? What is his motivation to be there?
Oh, there's a tie-in. Something's going on. He's making money somewhere here locally. You know what the deal is with those guys.
Of course it is. Kobe Bryant was there because he just announced.
For free.
He announced yesterday his new book, The Mamba Mentality, about how he prepared and how he went about his career and how he mentally and physically prepared for a long career in the NBA. First book that's he's done since his retirement. The press release went out yesterday. The Mamba Mentality. And that's exactly what players, Patriot players on social media, were tagging their posts with. Hashtag Mamba Mentality.
What?
He was there to preach to them
yep.
about his method and his way of doing it. Sort of like TB12 method, Mamba Mentality. They're all sort of in the same department. Patriots tweaking Tom Brady? Is that what that is? Is that a tweak? Is that a sort of a way to throw something in his face?
That's the most nefarious scenario that they're doing it to. That the best case scenario is that they're just a little tone deaf when it comes to PR. And they think of themselves maybe too much as a global brand rather than a regional one. And not realizing that Patriots fans would probably put Kobe Bryant among the top 10 people they least want to see hanging around at Gillette Stadium.
Well, remember this, too.
Why don't you bring in somebody from the Montreal Canadiens, you know, to talk about his stuff? What?
They don't look at it that way. It's sport greatness.
Bring up somebody from the Yankees. It's like the Red Sox hanging out with the Fenway Sports Group endorsing LeBron James.
What
did Fenway Sports Group do with LeBron a couple of years ago?
Why don't you bring in Guy Lafleur? And have him talk to the Patriots.
Well, I mean, seriously.
As you bring up the Montreal Canadiens.
What makes you think that New England-based...
Chris Nyland could do a show here.
New England-based sports fans give a rip about Kobe Bryant or anything having to do with the Lakers. That is cool. But you know what? The subject matter is important enough because how does a guy blessed with being one of the best basketball players on the planet at the age of 16...
Can he go college?
How is he able to go into the NBA and play basketball? Oh, I don't know, because he started off as one of the best basketball players ever when he was 18. How much of the Mamba method was in place when he skipped college altogether and went directly from high school to the Lakers? Was the Mamba mentality part of that?
Is he tall? Did he have nice size? Was he given
tall
was he,
enough?
Was he given nice size?
And if he was able to maximize that talent, you know what age he probably figured that out?
20 like minutes ago when
no,
he got a
14,
book deal?
No,
14.
13.
13, 14.
He was like 12 or 13 and he figured out how to work hard and really hone the skills, right?
So you're
it wasn't when he was 25. It was when he was a kid he figured it out.
So you're either
because
adopting
he was that
the
good.
You're either trying to sell the mentality of a 13-year-old or of one who's somebody who just got a book deal and decided they had to put a name and a label to all
this. You don't
need
a book for that. You know Jim Harbaugh just offered a scholarship to the University of Michigan to 14-year-old middle linebacker. It's an eighth grader.
I saw
kid's
that.
A stud. 6'3", 227.
Don't you get it, though? Don't you understand that?
But you know mentality. The kid's got it. He's got size.
If you've got a great player, sometimes you will
get
know
right.
when they're young. Now, Tom Brady wasn't the case. Tom Brady's a better spokesman for, hey, I wasn't a great player.
Totally.
I was great. I was
totally.
Good.
But I think, you know, when you're in it, you're
as a
the
good
coach.
Player. I was able to play quarterback in high school. I did get recruited to a big D1 program, but then I didn't start because they had better options. And right. I worked and worked and worked, and I refined my skills and worked hard, and I found a way to be great.
And it's almost like
through hard work.
You live in such a bubble. But you live in such a bubble when you're like Belichick, because all you do is you sit there and you crunch film. And you devise game plans. And that's all you do in your sport. So you watch a ton of film. So you have Brian in. He doesn't care about the PR aspect. Like, oh my God, what are fans going to think if we have Kobe in? I remember sitting there on the road in Minnesota. And this was right after the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson stuff went down. And we went to play in Minnesota that week where people were still outside as fans. And we were horrified going in on buses. And I had directly asked Bill the question regarding Peterson. And it went over to Rice. And he said, two great guys that I like and have a lot of respect for. Like, they're so unaware of what the outside ramifications or perception of the players, because all he knows is, this is the way I watch this guy run between the tackles.
I'm going to tell you right
and
now.
I've had him at the Pro Bowl.
Bill Belichick is not someone I would call for a character reference on anybody. Not someone I would call, because I don't know that he's very good in that department, picking him out. Right. Adrian Peterson, great guy. Today he called Kobe a tremendous guy. Tremendous. That was the word he used. Tremendous guy. James Harrison, bring him on in.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Hey, we had a woman that called in and complimented us for
he's
a compliment.
Character references, not his thing.
Forgive Bill Belichick. He's confusing the method with the man. It's a tremendous method, this Mamba method. It's going to turn sports on its ear, really, the Mamba method. It's different. He went about things differently.
Again, I'm not convinced that if Tom Brady was attending these workouts, that Kobe Bryant's coming in to preach to the team.
Nah, he would be, because the book just came out.
What do you need What do you need? So what? Tom Brady's
He's done it before. I mean, I don't know. He's brought Bill Russell in. He's brought anybody in to talk about winning championships.
But Brady's got five rings. Oh, wait. Kobe's got five rings. Oh, isn't that kind of
so you think it's a 5-5 dig at Brady and the method?
I think it could be all the above.
How about this angle? Hey, this guy's played with teammates that he dislikes, and he's learned how to function and win championships with them. You can do it, too.
A little different when there's
if you really
five
like,
starters.
But if there's other guys out saying, well, I like my family time, too, but I'm here at the OTAs. Tom Brady, is it? I mean, I don't know.
617.
We're reaching.
779-0985.
Fun reaching, but we're reaching.
I didn't think it was a great look. Kobe Bryant, yuck.
Oscar winner.
Kobe Bryant.
Oscar winner.
Tim in San Francisco on the umpire situation. Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Tim.
Hardy, I think you're onto something here with this buzzer idea. You know, you need a human being back there, and if the machine is calling the balls and strikes, there's a solution to this that just could save baseball's popularity problem and maybe even baseball itself.
I think so, too. I'm glad I thought of it first, even though somebody else apparently had it a year ago, and they talked about it on Real Sports, but that does not take away from my ingenuity. Thank you for recognizing that.
You're welcome, but I think there's a new angle to it. Celebrity umpires.
Ooh.
You told me that people wouldn't tune in to watch Will Ferrell and full Harry Carey method acting. That's a strike.
Yeah, but you got to understand, there's still a need for home plate umpire outside of balls and strikes.
Well, we can tweak it. You
I'm
know,
just saying there's, you know, Rob Manfred, he should really think about this. There's a way to save baseball with this. You know,
the way to save baseball is put the pitch clock in. Tim, thanks for the call. That's what they need. Robotic strike zone, pitch clock, 2019, baseball will be safe.
Oh,
I love how these people just want to make into a carnival. Like, baseball needs to be a carnival to be, like,
yeah, no,
exciting.
That's not what it needs.
That'd be fun.
That's not what it needs.
You do
not
games need a carnival will.
To make it work. Ray and Revere on
Cotton
the Red Sox.
Candy.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, man, I think they have enough to win
funnel
all
cakes.
This year. They got
Whoa.
Two MVP candidates and a Cy Young pitcher. And, you know, guys, they need to be adding, though, because the Astros and Yankees are stacked. The Yankees will be adding pitching. They've got the prospects. And the money, though, the Red Sox have put into this team, they currently have $56 million that they've cut off the roster.
Right.
$235. And you do the owner math and add back in the $63 million they spent for that Cuban prospect that they traded for sale. And $20 million.
Johan Moncada?
Yeah. How about today, too, is the this afternoon. Teams can pick up Hanley Ramirez. So you
we'll
got
see
that
what happens. It may not develop
see what
by
happens.
Today, but
right.
We'll see what we'll get reports on the interest levels.
Yeah, we'll see who's interested on high.
Ray, I think you're right. Usually when you have two MVP candidates and a Cy Young worthy pitcher, you should have enough. It's that bullpen. I think we all agree. They got to add to that bullpen. They got to shore up that bullpen.
Kimbrel's getting worked earlier, too.
Headlines with Hardy, and we're back with more on Zolak and Bertram.
That's right.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox begin a four-game series against the Astros in Houston tonight. It will be Drew Pomeranz to the mound, who's 1-2 on the year with a 6.75 earned run average, going against Lance McCullers Jr. in the first of four. Sox completed the three-game sweep of the Blue Jays yesterday. 6-4 they beat him. It was Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound yesterday. He went 6 2/3, allowed 2 runs on 3 hits. Danny Ainge on with Toucher and Rich this morning, talking about the end of the Celtics season.
Well, thank you. I do feel like it was a fun group, and I think overall they probably did exceed expectations, but that doesn't take away from the sting of the loss. I felt like you can't say you should or could have won a game, but we definitely had many chances to win that game in Game 7.
Also yesterday, the Celtics' Gordon Hayward underwent surgery to have some hardware removed from his fibula. Should be ready to go for the start of Celtics training camp. Capitals over the Golden Knights, 3-2 last night in Las Vegas. Series tied at 1, Game 3 Saturday in D.C. Headlines are brought to you by Nairopi at Cardi's Furniture. Enjoy Cardi's rattan and outdoor furniture collections with next-day iDelivery from Cardi's Furniture. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertram.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 12:36, Zolak and Bertrand. We got a special guest with us in studio right now. How about this? You've heard me talk about Awaken 180 weight loss, been talking about it for over 2 years. And this gentleman now has his own menu and his own restaurants, the great restaurants, which are called Davio's. Steve DeFilippo, how you doing, pal?
Great. You know, it's so nice to be here, because normally I call in on the radio, so yeah. I finally got to see the dungeon that you guys work every day.
I'm actually, yeah,
we're moving out of here, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, just we'll a couple more weeks. We'll have windows, we'll have daylight.
Wait, you mean these windows aren't real?
Those are not real. The brick is not real either.
So you haven't bought the Globe building yet, and you're putting in all the restaurants in there now, the big one over there in Dorchester?
No. I think that's someone else.
So, okay, you went and saw Paige, and I've talked about Paige with Awaken 180, and when did you come up with the menu?
Well, what happened was, you know, they approached me about the menu, and they thought, you know, what do you think about doing this menu for the restaurants? And I said, well, you know, I really don't know much about this. Why don't I do the program, and I'll see how it goes, right? Well, you know what happened. Yeah. I lost 30 pounds, right?
So you shut it.
Yeah, so I got pretty excited about it. So Rodney, our executive chef, and I came up, and Paige came up with a menu that is with her teachings, and it's so healthy, it's so great. So lunch and dinner, all the Davio's locations, all 10 restaurants. So you can go anywhere. You can go to Atlanta, New York, Philly, Boston, anywhere, Foxborough.
Yep.
And that what's so great is you go in, you can ask for the menu, and you know you're eating from the 180 menu. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you've always had great food in the restaurants, and you've had the vegetables. It's just learning what you can eat, what you can't eat, the starches, this and that. But what's the salad that you have, the chop salad?
The chop salad with the mustard vinaigrette. Oh,
that
is so good.
He didn't bring that, but Steve brought in food today, and we're all quiet because we're all been in their house again.
Yeah.
We've been to so many Davio's, regardless of what location. Beetle, you go to the one in Braintree all the
Braintree
time.
Braintree Plaza.
Yeah.
Saw you with the seafood platter.
Oh, yeah.
Whose phone is that? Oh, geez.
Is that my phone?
Hey,
are you participating in the Tom Brady Best Buddies game?
Of course,
tomorrow?
I had played in the game like 3 years now, and I got to tell you, the first year I played 3 years ago, I played against your partner right here, and he was guarding me, and so I go, you know, I go in the huddle, and Tom looks at me and he goes, "Steve, this one's coming to you." I said, "Oh, wow, this is." I kind of got a little excited, if you know what I'm saying. So I go out for the pass. I turn and the ball and the ball actually caught me. It hit me in the chest. As soon as I catch it, what do you think Zolak did to me?
He hit you.
He threw me down. Yeah, I mean, when he threw me down. I go, wait a minute. I thought we were having fun here tonight.
He got
a penalty.
You were Rocky and I was Thunder Lips. You thought this was for charity.
I will say
that's for a great cause. And Steve's like, let's give him a good show.
My leg was bleeding.
You play, buddy.
But you know what, though? I know he's a quarterback.
The speed of that game, though, is no joke.
No.
You would think it's some, it's charity, it's touch football.
You get that wacko
the first time I went,
there.
I said, this game actually moves a little bit.
Yeah. Scott, he is big. This guy is so strong. I'm not saying because he's right next to me. It's unbelievable how big he is. And, you know, I thought I could handle it. I mean, and then the next, you did it to me twice, actually.
I didn't mean to the second time. Sometimes you get gas, you're like, you're sucking wind, and you just run over people.
But
I'd
say Tom is great in that game.
He really
loves
works
it.
The people.
He really works hard. And, you know, a lot of the other players, you know, ex-players and present players play in the game. It's really fantastic. It's tomorrow night at Harvard Stadium.
You're doing the food for 2 days again, right?
Yeah, so what we do is we do a huge food thing afterwards.
Awesome.
Guy Fieri and it's like 40 other chefs from Boston. It's actually a heck of a time. It's fantastic.
Great time. Yeah. Great time. We did it last year. I have prom tomorrow night. Beatles got stuff going on.
Oh, so maybe I won't get thrown down tomorrow night.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, but anyway, Waking 180, I'll tell you. You guys got to look into it. It's a fantastic program.
Steve, it's great seeing you, buddy.
Right.
Appreciate the time. Thank you for the food.
All right, thanks. All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Steve's playing in that game tomorrow. You want to learn more about going to the game, bestbuddieschallenge.org, Harvard Stadium.
Yep,
free to attend.
If you haven't done it already, sign up at Team Tom Brady.
Excellent event.
Yep.
Our thanks to Steve and Davios for bringing the food in today. 617-779-0985. Back to the items we were discussing, including
robots, dogs,
Cassius Marsh,
the Black Mamba,
Kobe Bryant at Patriot practice yesterday. Today, Steve Addazio was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another mouth breather, huh?
You got a good tweet that said Addazio at practice today is at @Mark_Bertrand worried that he may install Catholicism into the offense while Brady isn't there.
Yeah. Let's go Pirate right, run it on the first two plays and throw it
I don't think
block.
That one's to tweak Tom Brady. I don't think Tom Brady gives a damn about Steve Addazio being there.
Yeah, I don't think Tom worries too much about BC's offense if you watch it last couple years.
Mike is in North Attleboro. Mike.
Mikey.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
I want to start off by saying that I like the way baseball is going now. With the, you know, they're going to insert a clock. You know, they're trying their best here. The robots, I think it's silly. I'm an AAU umpire.
Yeah,
doing it for 10 years, and I'll tell you what, you need authority out there. You need someone out there to kind of lay down the law. And there's also plays out there that a robot can't make a call for,
correct,
like an interference call. You know, we have...
don't misunderstand that it's just going to be the robot. It's you're going to have the
balls
human
and
element. Balls and strikes, that's it.
Yeah, but what, is that really is going to stop there, you think? You think it's really going to stop at, you know, safes and outs and fair and foul? I don't know.
Stuff goes to replay
now
anyway.
Do you ever get a call wrong as an AAU umpire?
I'm supposed to say no.
but that humans screw up. We all screw up.
For sure, absolutely. And
I screw up 10 times a show.
And I'll tell you what. I don't see that. But what I'm saying is, like, I think they're trying their best, and I think they're moving in the right direction.
Trying their best is fine, but this is baseball trying its best to get the game right. And what I think will help move the game along a little bit, and you're saying, oh, what's next? You know, bang, bang plays at first? Maybe. So you don't have to do the stupid review and go back and stop the game while that's going on. Nope, he was out. Let's keep going. What do you want? You got to retain the human element. Human element is code word for mistakes. You got to retain the mistakes. Oh, man, I don't know, man. You want to get the umpires out of there? Oh, you mean the guys that people end up hating when they get calls wrong?
Now, he said, generally speaking, he appreciates the direction of baseball. Mm. I've got to think that some of that is tied to the offense that has come back into the game.
Yeah.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Offense, limiting mistakes. And I wonder if they're sort of tied in together. Does baseball believe that if the strike zone is more consistent, that it helps the pitcher or it helps the batter? Who does it help?
Probably the batter.
It would help the batter.
Because you're grooving it.
Yeah.
You're trying to zero it in. You don't want a wide strike zone. You want a consistent strike zone. You train batters to just this little box here. That's what they're looking
but
for.
But you know that the high strike is not called.
High strike will not be called.
And not by humans, it's not.
No.
But once you institute a electronic strike zone,
you're
going to
get chest
strike,
level. You're going to get
but
chest level.
High strike will once again be called.
You see more frustration out of batters having to swing at stuff because earlier in the game or earlier in that same at bat, a ball got called a strike that they thought was off the plate, so they got to swing at it later. There's a lot of there's a lot of fouling off of pitches that goes on because guys aren't sure what the strike zone is and they got to stay alive in the at bat. I think it helps to move the game along. And to the caller's point about the direction of baseball, part of the direction of baseball is instituting video review and home run calls and all that stuff. This is all part, that's all along those same lines. Just getting the call right. Not taking away the home plate umpire, not taking out the calls at the plate, not taking away the calls and the foul pitches and the foul tips and the box and all that stuff. Ball strikes. Let's get the balls and strikes right. And he can still be back there and pretend it's him the whole time. Hee-yah! Because the buzzer went off in his hand that tells him that was a strike.
You do that good, old guy. Hee-yah!
Thank you.
We've got a long list of tweets from OTAs.
Oh,
hee-haw! Hee-haw! We'll get to those tweets from OTAs coming up next.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5. Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Hate when we start talking about this.
We've got tweets from OTAs. You know how that goes.
Oh, tweets.
Yeah. Sounder? Official
bird?
Sounder?
We got a bird?
Tweet. Tweets from
Minicamp
OTAs. Thank you.
Tweets from OTAs.
There it is.
Oh, God.
It's so bad, it's good.
It's so bad, it's good.
Dunkai, Nesson, Brady, Mitchell, David and Cyrus Jones, Ebner, Tooney, Bolden, what? Cody Hollister, Gronk. What? All the absences from OTAs.
Okay. Whoa, is that Gronk?
Jonathan Jones, Dante Hightower, Trey Flowers. All back at practice.
Malcolm Mitchell?
Not there. Mitchell was in that list from Doug Kide.
Does that concern you at all?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've been the
one. It's almost like it's like a draw. It's, hey, man, it's either bleep or get off the pot.
I love the player.
I do, too.
I do, but, it's man, like I feel like I'm the lone voice
is
that
the knee ever not gonna
not
work?
Buying it yet. Yet. Yeah.
It's not questioning his toughness. It's
no.
Just, is the knee that chronic? That's bad.
And, you know, I'm not exactly sure what the issues are. I wonder if there's potential surgery or what?
Or if it's required rest. I don't know.
Or it's bone on bone and you just, who knows?
Get him out there for a week and then you sit him. You know what I mean? Get him out there first week, which he was out there, and then you sit him. I don't know.
Jeff Howe has the stats on the quarterbacks.
Ooh!
Hoyer, 17 of 23 with a pick.
Get that daily pick in there. 17 of 23. It's not too bad. I'll take that.
Etling, 6 of 11, and then 11 of 12 in the final period.
Ooh, kid is humming.
Got going.
Yeah, he did.
Etling, getting going in the...
Danny E.
In the back end.
Is that his first name? Danny? Yeah.
Mark Daniel says, rookie punt. I think he means punter.
Punt.
Rookie punter.
Wasn't there a question on the left-footed punter?
How do we say this guy's name? Because I don't know how to say it. Corey, we can get a pronunciation.
Is Mark Daniels?
Yeah, this is the guy they signed going back a couple weeks. Bajorquez? Maybe that's how you say it. Bajorquez. Cody Bajorquez. That's what we'll go with for now. Looks like he's got a monster leg, Zoe.
Oh, boy.
It's a monster. Yes. Monster leg. We saw some booming punts today. Uh-oh. Oh, Ryan
Tell
Allen.
Again, going back to a couple of Mark Daniels pictures here. I take a lot into the pictures because it gives you a little bit of stature. You know, is this guy into it? Where's he looking in plays and in alignment? Dante Hightower looks thin. Thin up top. I mean, remember how bulky he was? Remember when Hanley Ramirez came to camp 2 years ago and you're thinking, wow, he looks like Dante Hightower.
Oh, okay.
Hightower looks really, really thin right now. Now, I know he had the torn pec. Now, granted, you know, you can't lift that much when you have the torn pec. See what other picks there are here. Hightower looks thin.
From Daniels, Demarius Travis intercepted Hoyer in the 11-on-11s. Mm. The ball was tipped by Duke Dawson, who was covering Patterson. Wow, a lot of new names there. Jacob Hollister had a nice practice, stood out over the 2 days that the media has seen, according to Mark Daniels. J.C. Jackson was starting opposite of Gilmore in 11-on-11s.
We'll have some good gunner drills here, too.
As you mentioned, Hightower, Jeff Howe said he participated in the full practice. Edelman did one offensive team period, but did not go at full speed today.
Smart.
Doug Kyed with something else on J.C. Jackson, saying undrafted free agent corner. J.C. Jackson, a player to watch, received a lot of defensive snaps. Kevin Duffy said, not the finest day for Sonny Michel. Caught heat from running backs coach Ivan Fears a few times.
We actually have some audio there if you want to hear it from
Mike Reese. Oh, yeah. So quick, Mike Reese put up a quick video. Can we hear it?
Cut it short
on his
route. Pass routes to the end zone, yeah.
Oh, and he's not happy.
Precise. Like going on the front pylon, yeah.
Mm. Tisk, tisk.
You know why Ivan Fears has to sit there and yell at him? Because Brady's not there to do it.
Oh! Get your ass handed to you. Warrior's not going to yell at him.
No.
No.
I don't even know. Was that video with just coaches throwing, or was it wasn't in a...
You know what, but Ivan talked about this openly, too, at the start of it. And Ivan's been around so long, just so well-respected. You know, the competition of the five guys. He's like, we're going to play the four best. That's it, period. You can put the ball on the ground, you ain't playing. You ain't playing.
Yeah, coach is throwing. That was a running back only
drill. It wasn't a team drill. Got it. Mm. And he cut it short. Where were they going? To the corner of the end zone?
Front pylon. The front pylon.
Front
of the
pylon.
Yeah.
So he cut it short, so he was probably where?
Right here.
The 2 or 3 yard line?
Aha.
Wasted pick. What a bust.
Stop it.
I'm joking.
People thought he was like 30 years old in eighth grade.
I'm joking.
Sure.
So you mean just big body, or he had man face hair?
No face. Not in the face.
Not Greg Oden face?
Body. Body-wise.
Remember how old Greg Oden
was? He was at a clinic with the football clinic, and the coaches pulled him aside and said, hey, we're going over here. Coach is over here. He's like, no, I'm a player. The coach said, well, you're coming to my high school then. And then he recruited him to his high school.
I need you to come play for me then.
Remember, like, Greg Oden was coming. I look like a caveman who's so old.
Don't you love that? Having no idea at all what the guy's skill level was, just based on, oh, you're a player? I want you. I will take you. Thank you very much.
His brother went to UMass, Beetle.
It's really confusing, though, all these high numbers they've given him. I wonder if they do this, too, not only to sort of make them earn their stripes. This is new, where you're like, you know, Etling's wearing, what, 58 or 59, and it's whatever round or number you're drafted or how many picks. I wonder if they do this to make these guys blend, too. So if they are screwing up, you can't really say, ooh, that guy stuck out. It's hard to say which one's which.
No, Hoyer said it's because it's to get the players to know who they are. You have to get to know the guy. You have to know him by face. You have to know him by what his body type is. You have to know who he is.
So this is like Remember the Titans.
Because he said he saw number 59 or whatever covering in the secondary, and it was a corner. It wasn't a linebacker. But you have to know that going in.
Ooh.
Like, if you're up at the line of scrimmage, that's a corner wearing 59. Hey, that's not a linebacker.
So this is part of two. You know, the Belichick development question that Chris Gasper asked him, like, you know, the changes. This is new. This is stuff maybe they looked at and said, the team doesn't know each other well enough.
Before it was no numbers, right?
Right. It was no numbers before. So why do they give different numbers? So, I mean, this is a way of changing. Breeze will be all screwed up when he gets in. Who the hell 68 running routes?
He doesn't know any of these guys yet.
Hey, I'm Tom.
To the point.
I'm Sony. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Mm. Like, that's another thing with all these young guys. So you get drafted by the Patriots, and you've been there busting your ass since camp, since the draft. You moved here. You're living in a hotel. You have yet to see Tom Brady. And all you've heard probably about the New England Patriots is Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. So what point are they sitting there in a hotel scratching their head or talking to somebody back home or talking to the other rookies? Rookies stick together. That's what you do. Like, all eight go out to eat together. You're going to do everything together. You're going to the movies. You're going to drive to practice back and forth. You're going to try and find Boston, go out, walk around. What do you think they're talking about? When the hell are we going to see Brady? Like, they talk about Brady. We watch the film. We haven't seen Brady. Is he a mythical creature? Do they break him out of his box? You know, his old hypoallergenic box. Here he is. Wow, shiny new Brady. Look how good he looks. He doesn't look 41. Look at the skin. He's Benjamin Button. Like, seriously.
I mean, seriously. He's got Sony Michel. You have Jeremy Hill.
Yeah.
You have this Izzo kid that they drafted at tight end. You have
Troy
Nicholas guy
receiver
at tight end. You have Jordan Matthews at wide receiver.
You're leaving
Cordell
out Jordan
Patterson
Matthews
at receiver. Do you have all these names that Brady's never thrown to, well, right?
Here's the thing,
right,
too. And
correct. Maybe he hasn't even met any of them.
And we're about, what, a month and a half away from training camp?
Yeah. And it's got to be like system, you know, clockwork. If you're opportunities that come for young guys in real camp and training camp are far and few in between. And you got to maximize that. So you're basically going to be thrown in there cold at camp.
Forgot about Brady, Braxton Berrios, too.
Brady's that's oh, my concern. Geez. The slot guys.
Listen, I hope Braxton Berrios works out like everybody else.
He's a little Austin Carr.
But don't you think the expectations are a little much?
I'm cautious because of Austin Carr, and I got so giddy about him. But Brady's not inviting these rookies to Montana to work out. Yeah. You know, you see Edelman out there running around. I don't know, Edelman looks great. But he's still coming off major knee surgery. What if this Danny Etling throws one 2 feet behind him and he stops and, you know, the leg sticks as far as... Well, if that would have been Brady, he's putting the ball on him and he's in system and he's in route.
Yep.
You know, and there's no concerns. It would suck to lose somebody off a twisted ankle or knee because of a poorly thrown ball because your real guy's not there putting the ball on him. That's all.
Let's get headlines, and when we come back, no commercials here. A couple of thoughts on the Celtics. Actually, one thought from somebody else on the Celtics. A thought of our own on the Celtics, and a thought on the Golden State Warriors.
A lot of thoughts.
Basketball thoughts. After this.